2002 will go into Hollywood's record books as the biggest year in box office history by a wide margin. Attendance was up sharply, and NPR's Bob Mondello says quality was too.
In the last couple of weeks of each December, I make a preliminary list of films that I wouldn't be embarrassed to have on a 10-best list. Usually I can come up with about 15. For 2002, my preliminary list has 29 films on it, so it's been a good year. There are two standouts right at the top, both about isolated characters who endure enormous hardship. The Pianist, Roman Polanski's Holocaust drama, begins with a literal bang as Polish musician Władysław Szpilman realizes while playing a live concert in a radio studio that the Nazis are entering Warsaw. Director Roman Polanski, who is himself a Holocaust survivor, makes Szpilman seem the victim of a cruel cosmic joke as he stumbles through an increasingly devastated landscape in The Pianist. The landscape is also unforgiving in an austere, snow-swept epic called The Fast Runner, set in an isolated Inuit community. This exquisite Canadian picture includes what is quite possibly the most alarming chase scene ever committed to film, a sequence in which the fast runner of the title is attacked while sleeping and tries to save himself by running barefoot and naked for miles across the Arctic ice. The Arctic, let's note, is one of the few places on Earth as forbidding as Middle Earth.
3 days of night's pursuit. No food, no rest, no sign of our quarry, but what bare rock can tell.
The surprise of discovery has diminished in part two of Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, but the sweep and scale of the storytelling are still vividly cinematic as director Peter Jackson uses state-of-the-art special effects to one-up the classic sequences he's quoting from other epics. For those who favor films of a more intimate sort, there have been impressive domestic dramas this year. Mike Leigh's British working-class snapshot, All or Nothing, boasts the best ensemble acting of 2002 in a story about a couple in crisis after their son lands in the hospital. Dad wants to play Santa Claus, Mom has other ideas.
But I made him a promise. I'm going to keep it.
What promise?
About going on holiday.
Phil, it ain't about going on holiday. It's about getting by, week in, week out. It ain't a game. Just because you suddenly got some bee in your bonnet about getting up in the mornings and going to work when you've been lying in bed for years till God knows what time. And we're all supposed to be grateful because you decided to do what normal people do. I get up in the mornings. Rachel gets up in the mornings. Make me sick.
If All or Nothing is about people who don't communicate, Pedro Almodovar's Talk to Her is about people who can't. It's about two men whose girlfriends have suffered terrible accidents and are in comas. The men strike up a friendship at the hospital while caring for them. If that sounds like the start of a sick joke, especially considering the offbeat comedies for which Almodovar is famous, rest assured that the director takes the story to resonant places you won't expect. A film that mimics the style of those overripe Technicolor melodramas that Hollywood produced a half a century ago is one of the most controlled, beautifully crafted pictures of the year. Far From Heaven features Julianne Moore and Dennis Quaid as a 1950s couple who seem to their friends to have it all.
Frank is the luckiest guy in town.
Hear, hear. It's all smoke and mirrors, fellas. That's all it is. You should see her without her face on.
Frank? No, he's absolutely right. We ladies are never what we appear, and every girl has her secrets,
I'll say.
Director Todd Haynes brings what would have been subtext in real 50s movies, such then untouchable issues as race and sexual orientation, front and center in Far From Heaven, which allows a film that seems visually to be angling for the title Best Picture of 1958 to sneak into your subconscious in 2002. That's six of the year's best. The next two revolve around musical performers, real and fictional. The real ones are the Funk Brothers, the folks who stood in the shadows playing backup in the 1960s, while the Supremes and the Temps took the spotlight.
And as the years go by, we wonder, will anyone ever know who we are or what we did?
The The exhilarating documentary Standing in the Shadows of Motown brings this amazing, previously unsung rhythm and horn section center stage. A couple of homicidal chorus girls think they're equally deserving of the spotlight in the Etched in Acid musical Chicago. With stars not previously known for singing and sensational direction by Rob Marshall, the show makes the leap from Broadway to the multiplex with more style than any musical has since Cabaret way back in 1972. And all that jet, hold on, hon, we're gonna bunny hug. I bought some aspirin down at United Drug. In case you shake a heart, I want a brand new start to do that jazz. Let's go, baby. Animated films also grew a little smarter this year with the arrival of Spirited Away, a breathtakingly clever Japanese fairy tale about a girl who loses her parents in a theme park. Animator Hayao Miyazaki has a knack for storytelling that puts his Hollywood counterparts to shame. And rounding up the list at number 10 is a picture that uses documentary techniques to recreate the events of a disastrous Irish day that started out with peaceful demonstrations and ended up known as Bloody Sunday. Ten is an arbitrary number, and as I said, I started with 29 pictures. Let's see how many I have time to mention. A couple of terrific films about con artists, Catch Me If You Can from Steven Spielberg and Nine Queens from Argentina, almost made the list. So did the offbeat documentaries Dogtown and Z-Boys about skateboarding and Bowling for Columbine about America's gun culture. The Sun's Room is a haunting Italian film that covers much the same territory as last year's In the Bedroom did. Gangs of New York and Road to Perdition turned gangster stories from different eras into sumptuous visual feasts. Frustrated Young Love knew no borders in the Iranian film Baran and the Mexican road picture Y Tu Mama Tambien. The Scandinavian comedy Elling is essentially a Norwegian odd couple. And nothing this year out-odded a Spanish film about playing the odds, Intacto, in which very lucky people test their good fortune in bizarre competitions, running blindfolded through a forest, for instance, and listening to other competitors smack into trees. The year-end rush included quite a few sharply directed films with splendid performances. Jack Nicholson as a retiree in About Schmidt, Nicolas Cage as twin screenwriters in Adaptation, Nicole Kidman, Julianne Moore, and Meryl Streep as women whose lives intersect from different eras in The Hours, and Adam Sandler, for heaven's sake, as a socially awkward nebbish in Punch Drunk Love. How many is that? I've lost track. But as I say, it's been a good year. I'm Bob Mondello.
The full list of our top picks for flicks in 2002 is on our website, npr.org.